He can validate your opinion if you took the time to write into the show. 'Cause it's a great debate. Maybe we'll learn something new, 'cause the input comes directly from you for this show. 'Cause it's a great debate. If you don't think our picks are great, a Twitter poll decides its fate. Don't hate us. It's a great debate.
Yeah, I think I could really go pro with this.
Hello and welcome to A Storm of Spoilers. My name is Dave Gonzalez, and I have not read any of the books in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series.
I'm Joanna Robinson, and I've read every book in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series.
And I'm Neil Miller, and I've read all the books in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series, including the ones that'll never exist.
Guys, welcome back to Storm of Spoilers, the Game of Thrones podcast. Our off-season tour has ended. We're back on season for our hashtag Storms End season. That's right.
Hashtag on season tour.
Yeah. yes, more hashtags.
Storms End is a dope hashtag for this because all the storms are ending. These are big storms.
Yep, and it's going to take us through Game of Thrones. It's going to take us through Avengers Endgame. It's going to take us through Con of Thrones this July 12th through 14th. If you want to go to conofthrones.net and enter a promo code STORM when you buy your tickets, you'll get some money off, and you'll get to see us talking about Game of Thrones in person.
And several times.
Yeah, definitely. If you're a member of our Patreon subscribers at patreon.com/stormofspoilers. You also might, you know, get some bonus con content if you're physically there and a subscriber. All the benefits line up.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. A bunch of our patrons are going, I think.
It's going to be a fun time, and we're all going to cry about all the people that died in the final season of Game of Thrones. The most notable of which we will determine in this great debate episode. We'll be debating who we're just dreading becoming a white at the end. We'll also be debating two other topics. The reunion of the final season that we're looking forward to the most, and the best last words overall in the entire series of Game of Thrones, because it is that type of show and it's going to be that type of season. Lots of goodbyes and grisly deaths, and, you know, some heartfelt reunions, and then probably a light incest baby. Anyway, until then, Joanna, do we have any reviews?
Guys, I forgot to pull up reviews.
Oh, we can announce what this, while you're looking up the reviews, we can announce what this week's bonus segment is for Patreon people.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be talking about Shazam!
Lightning sound! Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's what happens in the movie.
But don't forget patreon.com/stormofspoilers. It's about to heat up. Did we announce last week that what we're doing for the bonus segments and during Game of Thrones?
No, I don't think we made an official announcement. Will you tell the folks and give me more time to
this is
things?
Yeah, this is a huge deal. Normally, our Patreon episodes, our bonus episodes, which are about 20-30 minutes in length, those go out after. Those are usually coming out on Fridays, whereas our normal episode comes out on Wednesdays. This year, for Game of Thrones specifically, not only will those be about Game of Thrones, we're going to be doing some fun, like, games and talk, but they will also come before our main episode.
Wait, are you saying that our Patreons are going to get hot Game of Thrones takes?
Most hottest of the Game of Thrones takes. All of the Lord of Light's favorite takes will happen in the bonus episode. So make sure you get over to patreon.com/stormspoilers. Sign up. Anybody who is the Maester level and above will get the bonus episodes. They are very fun. They are going to be very more fun for Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Joanna, do we have any reviews?
Oh, guess what? We do.
Cool.
Yeah, we've got a couple of reviews here. I think we got a bunch of nice reviews that came in because I know some people are listening to our Rethrones podcast rewatch that we did for season 7 and, that Dave very helpfully put in the feed this last week. And, if you get to the season 3 Rethrones, I read some reviews that were very unfavorable about us. So I think some people listened to those and got angry and then left us some nice reviews. So that's nice.
Hey, however it's done, 5 stars.
What did we do right before Rethrone season 3? Was there, did we do something?
Rethrone season 2?
People were mad about us, like, not being able to remember everything perfectly, I think, mostly. All right.
Oh, yes.
Okay. 10 stars. If I could be any podcast host, I would be Dave Gonzalez because then I would rule trivia contests. No, wait. I would be Neil Miller because then I would have great stories about falling down. No, I've got it. I would be Joanna Robinson because then I could go pew, 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 pew. So that's someone calling out all of our brands. Okay. And then, this one's from Malls Walls 11, a podcast that refuses to fall down. 5 stars. There are a lot of podcasts out there. Some will keep my attention for a few weeks while others will stay on the radar for months. And yet here I am still listening to Storm Spoilers after 2 years of good laughs, stellar insights, and a lot of great recommendations for other shows and films. Hello, The Good Place. Storm Spoilers is fun, informative, well thought out, and carries just the right amount of agenda. Joanna. The hosts are hilarious and a worthy follow on Twitter for even more content and Oscar worthy reaction gifts. Give this bad boy a try, even if you're not into Thrones. The off season tour is a hoot. Thanks, Dave, Joanna, and Neil for making the tail end of my work week a little brighter. I guess I should correct Malls Walls 11 and say the off season tour was a hoot because the off season tour is over.
Everything ends, guys.
Also, maybe I should have like a really weird but very strong agenda this season. Like pro-Robin, pro-cookies. Yes, all inside joke-based agenda.
Nothing but bits and cookies and Lord of the Veils. Yeah.
Yes, like it'll be fantastic. Excellent. Yeah, please send us reviews. It helps, people find us on the iTunes charts, which is going to be especially helpful in the coming weeks as everybody's looking for like that Game of Thrones podcast or just all the Game of Thrones podcasts. If you're inclined to do that, like myself, thank you for making us part of your choice. Spread it around. All right. Passing off to Neil.
Oh, yeah. Guys, even though we're about to talk about Game of Thrones, there's other things going on, which is why we're going storm chasing.
Pew, 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 pew.
This is where we talk about a thing, a movie, a show, a podcast episode, a topic, a think piece that we'd like to highlight.
We ever highlighted a think piece?
No, but someday we will, now that I've said it.
I almost highlighted a book review this week.
See? We're getting there.
You're so arrogant.
I will start as I normally do by mentioning that I have now watched 4 episodes of What Do We Do in the Shadows, the FX show. That's really the only other thing that I've been able to do besides watch Game of Thrones. And I will say it continues to be funny, Matt Berry forever. And I think I've decided that What We Do in the Shadows is maybe my new favorite thing that could spawn multiple versions. Like it's the universe where I'm like, okay, they can make like 3 more of these, make them location specific, and I'd kind of be into it. So I think that I've decided that that's a cinematic universe I want to live in once all these other ones die, allegedly. So yeah, so that's what I've got. You should watch those. I think only 1 or 2 is out currently. 2 is probably out by the time people listen to this. But watch them all when they're out. Joanna, what is it that you are chasing this week?
Well, I'll do 2. 1 is unfair and 1 is fair. The unfair one is I've seen some of Fleabag season 2, which is only technically aired in the UK. And I think it's maybe one of the best things I've ever seen in my entire life. It's so good.
Oh, wow.
It is so...
And I really like Fleabag season 1.
I know. I love season 1. We were just talking about this on the Little Gold Men podcast this morning, like where my co-host there, Richard, was like, I'm not sure I'm going to watch Fleabag season 2 because like I don't know that it like needed a season 2 and it was so perfect. So why would I watch it? And I was like, I feel that way a lot. This is, I think, an exception. Andrew Scott of Sherlock fame sort of shows up to be the second lead, and it is, it's incredible. It's sort of like, premise breaking in a way that is like really emotional and good and just fantastic. Phoebe Waller, like, as if there were any doubt in our mind that Phoebe Waller-Bridge was a genius, like, this is just, this is proof positive. So, and she said that this is like the last she's doing for this character. This is it. So I just think it's a really like thoughtful, you know, she didn't do the second season of Killing Eve. Like, she doesn't just do the second season of something just to do it. I'm sure BBC America like dumped so much money on her feet to do Killing Eve season 2, and she's like, no thanks. But it felt like she has something to say here. So Fleabag season 2, incredible stuff. And then the more fair thing to say is I just got a stump for The Magicians again. The Magicians, one of my favorite shows on television, had this incredible...
That show about wizards, I hear.
Had an incredible musical episode last week. And it's just, it's an incredible, incredible show that I really love with all my heart. And I know a lot of our listeners, like, have watched it already or have started it because I was sort of being such a repetitive asshole about it. And, you know, if you make it through season one, which is a little dodgy in places, you'll be immensely rewarded, richly rewarded. So The Magicians, so good. All right. Who's next? Dave.
Oh, yes, I'm next. So previously we've talked about Tetris 99, the video game where you play Tetris against 98 other people. Perhaps unsurprisingly, that has become too stressful, amongst my current life. But I do have an increasing amount of daytime hours to fill, where my computer is entirely taken up by rendering other things. So that plus like uploading to cloud-based services basically also means my internet is entirely out. So looking for something to do to pass the time, I was counseled by a friend that the new iterations of Pokemon on Nintendo Switch were a very pleasant grind. And having not played a, I don't know, Pokemon game since I was in high school, maybe?
Since Pokemon Go?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. I did play Pokemon Go. So, yes, having not played a Pokemon game since Pokemon Go.
If one of us didn't say it, our listeners would remember Pokemon Go.
Yes. I guess the main reason I thought about it is these games, Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, are basically remakes of Pokemon Yellow, the pre-existing... Pokemon games on Game Boys, which I played a lot of. I just never actually finished, because I don't know, time. Anyway, it's been interesting playing it on the Switch, and it really is, like been made slightly more Pokemon Go-ish, which is slightly more simplified. It's still an RPG in the sense that you could pay attention to what like stats or whatever you're stacking. But then there's also like Nintendog things. So like I get to play with my Pokemon to make her stronger by like petting her on the head and feeding her raspberries, which she likes, and because little hearts emanate out of her all the time. And then I like have another one that follows me around and looks for like berries and things in bushes. And then at any time you could put the game down, and it's not like something's going to attack you or you're going to die or there's going to be some sort of consequence. So it's been a very soft and pleasant experience that has been prepping me for when the actual new Pokemon games come to Nintendo Switch later this year, the ones that are supposed to be based on like a Pokemon UK. This has been Dave Talks About Video Games.
This has been Dave says the phrase, feed her raspberries and she likes them. Like,
she does.
It's really fucking
cute. I don't
cute.
Know. Scratch it.
Also,
her
that
head.
Might be the only context in which you can say that and that'd be okay.
I mean,
you know, consensual raspberry feeding. There's nothing.
Oh, that's fair.
Wrong. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. As long as there are little hearts emanating out of the head, I'm assuming
that's consent.
That means it's okay.
Yeah, cartoon hearts mean consent.
I do also, you know, fight her for majority of the game, and she also seems fine with that. So, you know, whatever bonds you and your Pokemon.
Awesome. Cool. We did
it. Yeah, get ready for a lot of this when Detective Pikachu comes out, guys.
We did it, guys. Guys, I'm feeling a little weird about what we're about to talk about. A lot of stuff involving death. I'm really worried. I've been thinking a lot about the final season of Game of Thrones. So many people we love are going to die. Like, what am I going to do with all this emotion that I feel about the end? The storm's end. It's the end of so many things. What am I going
to
do?
Well, Joanna, we all need someone to talk to sometimes. A person who can support us through the rough patches or the season finales or the everyday ups and downs of life. That's where Talkspace comes in. Talkspace is therapy for how we live today. It's mobile, it's available when you need it, and it's affordable. So I think that might be somewhat helpful.
Oh, I love that. Is it like having a like your own personal Sir Davos there to like give you good counsel and listen to all of your cares and woes?
Talkspace will like actually match you with your own Sir Davos. So you're not the original Stannis in this situation. You're like a Jon Snow that doesn't have time to build loyalty on top of his or her great deeds. You just need someone to talk to, and you don't have to, you know, wait for some sort of appointment to talk about what's on your mind at the Godswood or whatnot. With Talkspace, you can just send unlimited messages to your dedicated therapist from the privacy of your device, which there's not really a good Game of Thrones analogy for.
You mean like send a raven anytime, anywhere?
You can just speak into the fire.
Nice. Don't you feel like Cersei would be a lot happier if she has someone other than Qyburn or the Mountain to talk to?
if she talked to anyone.
Yeah, and probably she had all of the professionals killed at one point. So there's not a local therapist she can go visit. So she should get online with Talkspace and be able to do it just from right from her device, whatever device Cersei has. I'm sure she has the nicest thing. Talkspace has more than 4,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges we all face. To match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code SOS to get $45 off your first month and to show your support for this show, The Storm of Spoilers. You like this show? That's SOS and Talkspace.com.
And we're here for a great debate about Game of Thrones. Joanna has asked that I insert places for her to do trivia 5 times. And so we're going to go to her for the first of 5 Joanna Trivia Corner throws. Joanna, what's in this? This is like the second time I forgot the name of a 5-sided polyhedron.
What?
Octagon. No, that's what? As 8.
What's happening?
Is it a corner or is it an octagon?
Okay, so here's what's happening.
Well, if there's 5 of them. That's all right, go ahead.
Pentagon?
Pentagon, thank you.
But I actually prefer to think of it as a pentacle, which is a different thing. All right, so what I decided to do, we're going to be talking about famous last words on Game of Thrones in this episode, but what I've decided to do is quiz the fellas on famous last words of, quote unquote famous. I'm going to pick some hard ones and some less hard ones of characters.
These are all from Game of Thrones?
These are all from Game of Thrones.
Oh, thank God.
Shall we get good?
It's not like what my Aunt Susan said when she died. Don't worry, guys. I don't have an Aunt Susan. Okay. Are you ready? This is the first one. It goes like this. There's only one ship.
Oh, I know this one.
Neil.
It's Mathos.
It is Mathos.
He says there's only one ship, and then he gets his ass
and
blown
then,
to hell.
Boom!
Right, it blows up. Yes.
I will say this. Speaking of Blackwater, I've rewatched Blackwater 3 times in the last 2 weeks, and I think I might be convinced it's the best Game of Thrones episode, but we'll have to debate that later.
It's really good, but it's no Kiss by Fire, but it's very, very good.
I have like a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, great. I will get my my own
save
TikTok
it for the
ready.
Con.
Ooh, lectures
with visual aids.
We're gonna we're like texting Con of Thrones right now. We need AV material.
All right, so that's a first of 5. The winner will get something. I haven't decided, and I hope you at home are also.
The winner gets
along.
To not shave off his beard at the end of the year.
Nope.
Hey,
because
nope.
I will
that's...
win.
Already under contract.
The loser has to give us all of his free Oreos. I
right where it hurts.
Classic Storm of Spoilers bet where only one person can lose.
I I hope people are playing along at home, and I hope a lot of people are just yelling Mathos at their devices. We will see you for the next point in the pentacle of famous last words trivia.
Yes. I really do enjoy pentacle. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming up with that, that word. All right. First of three great debates, Game of Thrones Great Debates, the most anticipated season 8 reunion. A lot of our characters have been apart for a very, very long time. Some of them have just been apart for a little bit. But who is going to be the most anticipated for both us and our audience? Here's how it's going to work. In case this is your first podcast Great Debate, we have each chosen an answer. And then we have solicited answers from you, the listening audience. We are going to read three of them, and then through discussion of us three host judges, we'll narrow it down to one. Those four will go to a Twitter poll where the ultimate Star Wars spoilers representative champions will be crowned. Excellent. Let's kick it off. Neil, for you, who is your choice for the most anticipated season 8 reunion?
Well, I'm gonna start by breaking the rules. Cause I know we said reunion. Mine's not really a reunion cause these two characters have never met. But these two characters share something that I don't think Weiss and Benioff can resist bringing into focus for us. Like, there will be a moment in which Tormund and Jaime meet and realize what's going on. And I just want to see how that goes. So
you're talking what's going on vis-a-vis romantic entanglements.
Well, so like imagine, if you will, a sequence in which they meet, and through their conversation, through some witty post George R. R. Martin dialogue, Tormund discovers that Jaime is the one that Brienne truly loves, and then his instincts kick in, but he has to hold it in because he's loyal to Jon. And I've already spent too much time talking about this, and I've spent too much time thinking about it as well. So that's my pick.
I have a question to interrogate your pick. Is that, since a lot of the Tormund Brienne relationship has come about from the show leaning into performances or things that happen by happenstance, if it does end up in a situation where Tormund and Jaime meet to have this conversation, is that the show too much bending the narrative, like its master narrative?
No, I think it's like a funny, like, 2-second thing, you know?
Got it. But it's definitely, they talk. It's not just like an eyebrow raising.
Yeah, because we all know that Brienne's big. Her one true love is Jaime. So I don't think...
Neil,
I'm not like,
it feels so, it's so healing to hear you say that.
I mean, if we think about like what could actually realistically happen, I mean, the only way for Tormund to get in is if Jaime dies and then he does something super heroic to save Brienne. But, I think that would be going too far. So there you go. There's the too far version of it. But if it's just like they meet in Winterfell and they have like a moment where Tormund like gives them an eyebrow or something, or like gives them a fun Tormundism, then sure, let's do it.
Excellent. I'm going to pivot off of that to my choice, which is Brienne and Jaime, mostly because in my current rewatch, I'm to them splitting up ways, basically, and I'm very much looking forward to the reason this is the most anticipated reunion is that it's her seeing that he returned having made maybe not the right choices all the way, but basically coming to the end of the redemption arc and coming to save the world from zombies and keep the Lannister word, even though his sister doesn't plan to. Her basically having a reason to be proud of him again will be worth it, and I'm going to savor that moment because I'm pretty sure that's like the best the relationship can get.
That's definitely the kind of thing that happens right before one or both of them are going to die.
Exactly. Classic storytelling would say that if you end an arc with like a nice feeling moment like that, someone's going to die soon after. So I anticipate it mostly because I think that moment is very well earned for both characters, and it's gonna be fun to watch. Let's go to Joanna.
I hope our listeners could hear my blood boiling through the microphone while you were talking, because both Neil and I were shocked that Dave claimed Brian and Jamie before I could get to the document. When everyone knows, my brand knows that obviously Brian and Jamie should be my pick, but that's fine. It's fine. Dave and his Oreos are fine. Okay, so my runner-up pick then is The Hound. And originally I just had Arya, but now I'm just going to say The Hound and the Stark Girls, because he has had a, you know, relationship. That makes it sound gross. He has had an association with both. And, you know, he hasn't seen Sansa in so long. So that'll be fun to see. And that's, you know, that's such a book thing. And then obviously, like, he has a relationship with Arya in the book as well. But that's, you know, that's a more recent thing. But, like, to indicate sort of the reunions that the writers themselves seem to be looking forward to, it might be useful to think back to season 7. So in season 7, we know that Jon and Tyrion talked about Sansa. So that's, like, you know, one thing to think about, that the writers are aware that, like, you know, a Tyrion and Sansa, and we'll get to that, but that a Tyrion Sansa sort of thing. And then, I think it was Jon and the Hound talking about Arya north of the wall. And so, you know, like, yeah, the Hound and the ladies.
Oh, and the Hound and Brienne talking about Arya as well.
Yeah. Did
Do
they?
You think,
when they were
at the dragon pit. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah.
Do you think Sansa will acknowledge that had she gone with him when he first asked, she'd probably, you know, have had a different life course?
She probably would have died at the red wedding.
Maybe, but like, what's true is that, there's just gonna not be enough time for all of the acknowledgements of all the dynamics, because there's so many characters coming together that, you know, matter. And I don't know, it's gonna be interesting to see what they pick. Like, there are some moments that they do a really good job with, like John and Theon last season. I thought that was a really good scene, like on the beach. They're like, we need to give a lot of space to John, meaning Theon Greyjoy. And, you know, so we'll see what they have space for in the final season, even with those super long episodes. All right. So those are our picks. What did the listeners think?
Well, the first listener one is, sort of piggybacks off of what we were just talking about. It's from Margaret. It is Sansa and Tyrion reunite. Margaret says, I'm excited to see his reaction to her, all caps, power, which I think it's interesting. You talk about things they will set aside space for. That does feel like one of them, mm-hmm. because they've put Sansa's power in focus for the last couple of seasons, ever since they've sort of been detached from the books. Which is one of the more interesting adaptation choices they've made. And she's obviously a much more significant character than you would have thought based on what we had from the books. And so I think that they're like, I don't know. I hesitate to say that like they want to make up for all the bad things they did to Sansa. But I don't know. Maybe this is her time to shine for a little bit. We'll see.
And I just want to mention really quickly, even though I know you know it, but we just want to say it so that our listeners aren't yelling at it, that like that they're married. Tyrion and Sansa are married.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. It's also,
do you know what's really,
neither one of them seems to be very concerned about it anymore.
You know, what's really burning my toast upon rewatch, is when in season 6, when, Sansa and Davos and Jon go on their recruitment tour of the North, and they go to meet Lyanna, and Lyanna's like really shitty until Davos does his like little girl whisperer thing. But like, Lyanna's so shitty to Sansa. She's like, what's your last name? Lannister? Bolton? I forget. I've lost track. And I'm like, Lyanna Mormont, like, come on.
I mean, the North remembers.
Jesus Christ. The North is petty. That phrase should be, the North is petty. All right.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. Should I read the next one?
Sure.
Okay. And then Dave can do the last one. This is another one that really strikes a chord with me. Gendry and Arya for sure. Not because I ship them, though I do, but because Maisie and Sophia hinted that Arya is going to be siding with Sansa in a hopefully short anti-Targaryen standoff, and so the Arya and Jon reunion might not be the crack in Arya's murder veneer that we thought it might be. However, Gendry is not only going to be a big surprise, but also with the way that they're writing Gendry now as very extra, I feel like he would be the one to just bother Arya into a more vulnerable conversation. That's from Claire C.
So, damn, that's good.
So, my, what is it? I have a son, you have a daughter. We will join our houses together, to quote Bobby Baratheon from season one. Gendry Baratheon, Arya Stark, little heart things coming off the top of my head at the thought of that. Mm-hmm. Here's what I want. I really want Sansa and Arya to have sex in season 8. I don't need to see it. I just want it to happen for them because, okay. I don't need to see it. I have no desire to see it.
No, I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about, because Game of Thrones, it's almost like a quota thing, and they've still found a way to have nudity on screen, but like, I don't understand how they're even going to do that in season 8.
Well, it's not even about the nudity. It's like, it's the fact that like, Sansa and Arya in the books are like little girls, right? But in the show, like, these are young women, and like, Jon gets to have, what, two sexual partners? You know what I mean? Like, Bran's not even a human anymore, so he's off the map. You know what I mean? But like, let the Stark girls have some fun before things get bad. So as you know, I am advocating, I don't love this whole like, he's a sex god thing, but I'm really into like, Sansa taking Pod as like, her little like, sex minion.
Or as her loving partner.
Loving partner.
Pod is a great human.
Pod's a great human, but also he's mostly a piece of meat. No, he's a great human, but he's a sort of like a lives to serve kind of guy. He's submissive.
She's a dom. With Sansa.
Yeah, she's a dom. She's dressing in like.
Oh, I'm 1,000% on board with the Podsa or whatever the ship is.
Podsa.
If I have to pick one, it's that one.
And then Gendry and Arya. Like let Arya. Like you got to pay off that leering look from season 2, right? You got to. So like, let them please have that sex before the battle. Like, release some tension, right? You know, so let the Stark women be fully sexual beings in season 8. It's a catchy hashtag. I hope it catches on. Dave, what's our next duo?
So our next entry is from Patrick, who writes, my heart says Arya and Jon, but in the interest of adding something different, I will say Jaime and Bran. Jaime's gonna have to apologize for pushing a child out of a window and crippling him, and Bran's a complete weirdo at this point, so his response will most likely be bizarre. All in all, it should make for a scene of inky black comedy in a season that doesn't expect to have too many laughs. Which, possible. We've seen some black comedy from Bran that is somewhat intentionally jokes, like when Sam asks if he saw a vision and he holds it up a thing. So yeah, why not show that Bran is totally not the little boy pushed out a window by having some weird I watched you. That was but the first of the infinite times I have watched you and Cersei have sex over my roots, my time roots.
Whoa. Yeah, that's the thing right there, is that Jamie starts talking to Bran, starts apologizing, and Bran just gives him a number and doesn't explain what the number is, but we all kind of know that's how many times you've had sex with your sister.
Yeah, I'm not super satisfied by the idea of like the Jamie. I like that phrase. I really like that phrase, inky black comedy, and I like that sort of idea behind it, but like, because Bran is no longer Bran. It's the same reason why I don't care about Cleganebowl anymore, because the mountain is no longer, you know, the mountain. And so, like, what kind of closure is that really going to give Sandor? And I can't believe no one picked the Hound of the Mountain, so that's amazing. But,
well, because they met at the end of last season. Yeah,
that's true. Anyway, I love that we went through all of this and no one actually picked Arya and Jon, which is for sure, like, the most anticipated, but in that way, then it's sort of like the most overblown. Like, we are.
Well, now I want to change mine so that it's within the rules.
Are you going to. Just so you could win? You'd be like, well, I got to talk about what I wanted to talk about, but also not sacrifice the dub.
kind of dumb. We'll see
when the polls come out.
We saw Arya and John in the same shot in an HBO teaser that they released this week. They showed John in the foreground, Arya in the background, in the Godswood. So like they're not completely hiding the two of them in the same frame from us. But we didn't see like the moment. I can't imagine they do it anyway other than her jumping up into his arms like she did when she said goodbye to him. I cannot, like, there, like, I would, like, Iocane powder, I'd stake my life on it, like, for sure.
She will shave her beard.
That being said, I will. I will wax my upper lip. That being said, there's just so much, even in show anticipation about it, like when Sansa last season was like, oh yeah, John was really emotional seeing me. He's gonna lose it when he sees you. And I'm like, that's too much buildup. Turn it down, show.
Except he's also bringing his dragon girlfriend now.
Yeah, but Arya, I mean, like, I think Arya will side with, like, support Sansa, but I think, actually, never mind. I can't talk about it.
All right. Well, on that cryptic, twist.
If anybody's playing Storm of Spoilers, Game of Thrones season 8 preview bingo, that's one.
Which one of these three is going to move on to our final poll? Sansa and Tyrion, Gendry and Arya, and Jaime and Bran.
I say Gendry and Arya.
I am going to agree with you.
Done.
Okay.
Sorry.
We won't even know if it was two against one.
I mean, mine's Arya and John, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Ugh. Cheater.
Revisionism. All right. Before we get on to some forward-looking speculation, great debate, we are going to go for best last words. This can encompass the last words in a series. I think it has to be followed by death. At least all the ones we picked.
Is it time
were followed
for
by death.
Another point on the pentacle, though?
Oh, yeah, that's right. This would be a good time for another point on the pentacle. Right before we do the best last words, Joanna has a pentacle point trivia segment coming right up.
Okay, let me just double check and make sure it's not one of ours that's in here. No, okay, it's not. Okay. No. No, you'll wait here. It's nothing.
I know.
I actually don't know that one.
Okay, I'm going to let David say it. I just want to, like, wait for the listeners to have their chance to shout out their answer first. All right, Dave, what's the answer?
That's Joffrey.
It is Joffrey. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. Good theatrics with it, too.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I'm glad you appreciate my performance.
All right. Well, it was nice because I'm so used to, like, taking note of when you cough to cut it out that, like, immediately I'm like, wait, this is important.
Intentional coughing.
Wait, now I'm listening. Coughing. Well, all right. Great debate number two. Best last words. Joanna, let's let you kick this one off.
Oh, I had to go with a classic because Dave once again stole my choice. So I'm going with the classic. You all know what I'm going to say. Wait, I'm going to give listeners again a beat to guess what they think I'm going to say. Did you guess it? Here it goes. Mother. Rob Stark.
Oh, good old Rob Stark.
And the reason why, not just because, like, Richard Madden is a huge dreamboat, even with, like, arrows sprouting out of his chest, but because I think I've talked about this before. I think it's just this very vulnerable and, like, what it, you know, what it leads to in terms of, like, Catelyn's primal scream, like, in response and stuff like that. But I think this idea of, like, this like, there's this scene in season one in the Black Cells in Baelor where Ned Stark, like, learns that Rob is leading troops into battle. He goes, he's only a boy. You know, and it's just like, yeah, Rob Stark was a boy when he went to war, and then he had to be a man, he had to be a commander, and then just, like, you know, he just saw his wife get stabbed in the belly, pregnant belly, and is dead, and then he just, like, reverts to this child, and that his last words are so childlike just always really, really gets me. So, there we go. Rob Stark.
That episode is so tough to watch, even after seeing it, like, 1,000 times.
It's a great build to like a breaking point, like the first breaking point in the show, at least in like a rewatch that I really respect the pacing. The let's have a show about medieval politics pacing of Up to the Red Wedding. It is pretty sweet. I was going to say a lot of characters actually say mother or call to their mothers before they die. Shireen, obviously, and then Joanna, weren't you saying all the sand snakes too?
Mama! Mama!
Mama! Mama! Mama!
Yeah, they all say mama. That's my,
and then they're all killed with their own weapons.
Yeah, it's true.
Very on the nose, Game of Thrones.
That's so interesting. I think I like, because it happens over two episodes, like I knew that Nymeria and Obara got killed by their own weapons, but I think it never put it together that then Tyeen also dies. She dies by poison, mm-hmm. which is her weapon. You're so smart, Neil Miller.
Yeah. I think a lot about sand snakes and how it all went wrong.
The bad pussy.
Neil, what's your nominee for the best last words?
Well, mine is from season 4. It is a character who was very beloved, mostly after he died. I think people noticed him. And it goes something like this. I am the sword in the darkness. I am the watcher on the walls. I am the shield that guards the realms of men. I pledge my life and honor to the Night's Watch for this night and all nights to come. It's Gren plus a couple of dudes. Yeah. We don't know those other dudes.
Yeah. I almost joined you to like give the joined you midway through to give it to you, but I didn't want to like steal your spotlight. Your performance sure. was so good. Your accent was positively Dinklage-esque. Like it was so
thank you.
Good.
That's what I was going for. it's the Night's Watchmen, Gren and company who go down, saying their vows as Meg the Mighty charges them through the tunnel underneath Castle Black, which still I really like those Night's Watch characters. I sort of felt this as I was rewatching, as we record this, I'm in season 4. So those guys were such a big part of, keeping Jon Snow's otherwise kind of boring stuff really interesting, because they bring life, you know, beyond Jon and Sam. So, I was sad about Gren. It's tough. I was going to do the Oberyn one, but we don't need to do that on a podcast. We don't need to shout that on a podcast.
All right. I have the final one, and if anybody wants to, you know, since we're doing an interactive podcast, shout into the ether what you thought I took from Joanna. Here we go. All right. Mine is Stannis's go on, do your duty to Brienne before
you gotta
she
say it like he does.
Swords
go him. On, do your duty.
Go on, do your duty.
Wait, I want to do my Stephen DeLay impression. Go on, do your duty.
Yeah, there's like just such a shittiness to the way Stannis says it.
I stare because I've made, as it turns out, I discovered I've made that gif of him doing that like a couple different times. And I've just stared at his face many times as he like prepares to say it. And we know that Stephen DeLane like didn't like being on the show and wanted off the show, but he puts like a lot of delicious pepper on Stannis's end. He just like really just sits there, makes like 9 different disgusted faces, resignation, whatever. I burnt my daughter and all I got was his lousy t-shirt, like sort of.
Yeah, Stannis is the character who it goes so wrong so quickly for. After he, once it's time for Stannis to die, it just goes all very badly very quickly.
Yeah, but I also like how, like, he starts, you know, putting faith in the wrong place, and he's just not the chosen one. But poor, logical Stannis, like, makes one weird passion, faith-based decision in his life, and it just like sends him to horrible ruin slowly over years.
Oh, it's like a metaphor. You know,
yeah, exactly. Don't have smoke babies. Don't burn your daughter. Other things that I'm sure we caught on.
Religion, am I right?
Yeah, jeez.
No, I think you mean which religion is right?
Which religion is right?
Can't wait for that great debate at Con of Thrones.
Yeah, man, I really think this last season's gonna really clear that up for us. All right, our listener choices were overwhelmingly dominated by one pick, which was tell Cersei, I want her to know it was me, which is, you know, Queen of Thorns going down.
Mm-hmm.
Also, continuing on is to, before that, talking about how she poisoned Joffrey. So basically, just badassness all around.
Yeah, at first I thought this was like a recency thing. I was like, oh, because that's like the best one of last season. But no, everybody's rewatched the whole thing. I feel like everybody's on the level with these. That's a really good one. Like, it's legit one of the great scenes from two. You know, Game of Thrones is sort of spoiled with some of the acting talent that they, I don't want to say they lucked into it because it's just great casting, but like the people they picked at the outset who maybe didn't even feel perfect at first, but like Nikolai is just amazing in that sequence. And then, of course, Diana Rigg is Diana Rigg all the time.
Dame Diana Rigg. Have you guys ever seen the Daniel Radcliffe episode of Extras, which is one of my favorite things that's ever happened?
Yes. I don't think I have.
Okay. So,
Daniel. Oh, no. You brought it up. You get to explain.
Okay. He's like in a diner, right? And I forget, like, he throws a condom or is like slingshotting a condom like a rubber band or something like that to impress the woman he's like with, or like swinging it around or something like that, and like gets out of his hands and lands on Diana Rigg's head, and he has to go over and ask for it back, and he goes, may I have my Johnny, please? And he's like, man, my Johnny, which I guess is British slang for a condom. And she's like, you know, what do we say? Or something like that. He goes, Dame Diana Rigg, may I have my Johnny, please? Or something like that. I don't know. It's just like, did I butcher that, Dave? Is that?
I believe it's, may I have my prophylactic back? Because she corrects him.
When he says Johnny
Hat, which is the slang. And then the whole joke of the episode is that Daniel Radcliffe has never had sex, so he's already taken the condom out of his wrapper, so the whole thing flops.
It's so good.
On her head, and he needs it back. He retrieves it, and then he puts it in his pocket, you know, because so he could use it later.
That's so funny.
Might be the best Daniel Radcliffe performance, and I've seen almost every Daniel Radcliffe movie.
And you love that farting dead guy performance, but
I do love the farting dead guy performance, but does not have Dame Diana Rigg with a condom in her hair. All right. Joanna, why don't you pick one of the readers?
Oh, okay. Let's see. I will pick. Oh, this is a great one. No, I'm actually going to read the full one if that's okay with, this listener, because I really like the part that comes, before it. Hush now, child. I'm off to see your father. God's help you, Theon Greyjoy. Now you're truly lost. And that is, of course, Sir Roderick Castell, Jory's dad. He used his last words to try and correct the path of the man who was unjustly executing him. Oh, never mind. This person said that later. Not only that, but he comforted Bran and Rickon before his death, saying, hush now, child, I'm off to see your father. His undying loyalty to House Stark and assistance to Catelyn in avenging Bran's fall proves he's a great man. And that's from Shruti, who I don't know the gender of, so I apologize if I misgendered that person. But anyway, this is a great pick. Great, great pick. Love this moment. Not to name drop, but I was talking to Isaac Hempstead right today, and I asked him, I was like, what's the hardest? I was like,
not to name drop, but to name one of the Stark children.
Clang. And I asked him what the hardest scene to film was, and I essentially phrased it like, what was the hardest scene to film and why was it the death of Roderick Castell? He was like, it was the death of Roderick Castell. It's a brutal scene.
Because then Theon, it takes him like four swings.
So good.
So
and it's
bad.
Like pouring rain, and Bran is just like screaming. Oh, it's so good. Love that. I love like all that we talked. Maybe it was on Twitter, but also I was listening to our Rethrones podcast where we were talking about it there too, where like Maester Luwin's also like a huge death. This death of the like parental figures, like Yoren or, or Maester Luwin or Roderick Castell, like that matters so much to the Stark children in these early seasons.
Right. Because it goes from like being just about the fact that their father died to being the fact that like everyone who's ever taken care of them has died.
You know,
like they are, the death just follows them.
I was just rewatching Battle of the Bastards, and like for all my issues with that episode, and especially for all my issues with Sansa in that episode, like maybe no line in all of Game of Thrones rings truer than Sansa being like, Jon being like, I'll protect you. I'll make sure no one ever hurts you. And she goes like, you can't protect me. No one can protect anyone. And I'm like, word, girl. That is correct. You are right.
Game of Thrones. Boom.
Yep.
Excellent. Neil, give us our third.
This is great. I looked into this one because this is my favorite of the listener ones. It is from James. James says, facing down several soldiers by yourself, showing no fear, able to maintain some wittiness, and going out like a complete badass. Yoren, I'll follow you anywhere. Yoren's last words were, I've always hated crossbows. Take too long to load. I love Yoren. Yoren's another one of those parental figures. I think I tweeted this last week. Yoren is in my, what I call the unholy trilogy, trinity, whatever you want to call it, of my favorite characters. It's Yoren, Tormund, Oberyn, forever.
Mm. All right, so we have from our hosts, Stannis, Rob, and Gren. From the listeners, our nominees are Queen of Thorns, Sir Roderick, and Yoren. I think we gotta go with Dame Diana Rigg, but does
yeah, that
anybody
was the
want
popular
to protest
pick.
That choice?
May I please have my prophylactic back, Dame Diana Rigg?
Brilliant. She could also win for the prophylactic comment. Oh, maybe, so you know.
Whatever gets the job done for Dame
get
Diana
that click.
Rigg.
All right, we got one more great debate coming up after this break.
All right, now is the time of the show where we thank some of our small council members of our Patreon. These are the subscribers at the $10 level or higher. So thank you so much to Carrie, Jeffrey Ang, Adam Sullivan, Jason Blackmer. These are four new members of Small Council. Thank you. And to our stalwart members like Robert Bowles, Chuck Perky, and Brie Mattia, thank you so much as well.
I also have a list of names, people that we'd like to thank. Beginning with Amy Newswanger, Cameron Graham, Christian Turner, Nick Willard, Mark Jewett, Tom Schapansky, Elizabeth Mowbray.
And I would like to thank Andrea Coker, Mick Nick, Ashish Sridharan, Betsy Lane, James Barda, Shane O'Reilly, and Jocelyn Land. Thank you guys. Your donations make the show possible. You know what time it is. It's time for another point on the Joanna Trivia Pentacle. This is our third pentacle point. Joanna, what's our death words? God, it's doing so good with all the weird words all like slammed together. Go ahead, Joanna.
Let us through.
And then they died?
Oh, that's Marjorie.
Yes, it is. Marjorie Tyrell.
Yeah.
Oh,
let
nice.
Us through.
Let us
She's
through.
Pleading.
Oh, that was after she told, yeah.
I believe the High Sparrow's last word was, he gives a little, right yeah. before the thing blows up.
What are you going to do? It's a very Larry David situation.
All right. We will do a fourth point on this trivia pentacle in between the host and the listener nominees for this final great debate. This is some forward-looking speculation. None of us know that any of these answers are going to happen, but the ice zombie resurrection you fear the most. Who's gonna die? Who's gonna get come at me, bro'd from the Night King? Rise on up. Attack the living. Be on the side of the dead. Neil, let's have you go first.
This is an interesting one because it's a question of like, what's the most traumatic possible thing? And in my mind, let's assume that all of our favorites have to die. That seems fine. So what are the most traumatic deaths that we could see? You know, you get your list of like your Sansas, your Daenerys, your Arya, sure. But Jaime Lannister would be a tough one. And if Jaime Lannister were killed by an undead Brienne of Tarth, it would be the single most fucked up thing that I could possibly think of. happening in season 8. So I think it's Brienne. I think no one wants to see Brienne come back. There are people that were like, were weird. It would be weird if they came back, or like, but like if Brienne died and then came back as an ice zombie, that would be it for me. I would be like, holy shit. We're truly in the end game now. So that's my pick, Brienne.
Yeah, there. Sorry, can I?
Yeah, I got.
Go. There are no spoilers here. We don't know that this is going to happen, but we're guessing that that they planted a seed in season 5 with Hardhome, where we see the Night King resurrect Carsey, who's a character that we've only just met at the beginning of the episode, and it's a real bummer to see her come back to life at the end there with the blue eyes. Like that is heartbreaking.
That's the idea.
And so the idea is that okay, so they did that with Carsey and that was hard. Now in the final season, they're going to do it with so many characters that we spent so much time with. And I think before we've thought about we've mentioned this before with an undead Hodor or something like that because he died north of the wall. But the fact that they're going to have a huge battle where undoubtedly the Night King will be there, it means that we won't have time. We've had time to think about undead Hodor. Okay. But the reason I'm having this thought experiment, and I did it on Twitter earlier today too, is I really want everyone to think of the person you're most going to be devastated to see snap open their eyes and they're bright blue and they rise up and they're the army of the dead. Whoever that person is, I just want you to think about it, not to torture yourself, but just to prepare yourself because Game of Thrones is coming for your jugular with this shit. So we're going to see a lot.
Speaking of Joanna, why don't you take your pick, which is absolutely devastating.
It's a very weirdly taunting tone you just took with me. So I'm going to go with, Lyanna Mormont, the little lady of Bear Island.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, it would be the combination of the kids and the character we liked. So it's Hardhome times a double.
Yeah. So imagine Lyanna dying in the Battle of Winterfell. And then snapping open her eyes and that famous sneer we love is now just the visage of the undead. So.
Yeah, but then Game of Thrones would do something.
House.
You know that if that happens.
Jorah's alive. How dare you?
Jorah can't keep his lands while Sansa Stark holds the North.
Sansa will forgive Jorah. He saved her brother when they went north of the wall in that ill-advised zombie hunt. So, you know.
Yeah, we'll see how much she forgives Daenerys's little errand boy.
Wow. All right.
Wait, who has to kill them though? Weren't we going to do that too?
Yeah. Okay. So the other side of the thought experiment, and then so Lyanna's not really a good one for that, I think, because there's no maybe Bran killing Lyanna, because Bran.
Yeah,
because really
they probably do
Lyanna.
Something dumb Arya has to kill her.
Right. But
Jorah. Take back his house.
Who's the bear now, bitch? Which is Jorah's new catchphrase. No. But I guess the follow-up devastating thought experiment is not who will be the hardest to see undead, but who will it break your heart to watch kill them? So my original guess, and I don't think this is on the list anymore. No. My original thought when I first posted this on Twitter this morning was Podrick Payne, because Podrick just strikes me as the most still purely innocent, doesn't he? He's just the least cynical.
Yeah, he's a pretty good guy.
It's not just that he's a good guy. He's just a bizarrely sweet guy, given all the shit that he's seen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they went down to River Run in season 6 and Pod has seen so much, and Bronn is just being an asshole with him, and he's like, oh, you think they're fucking in there? And Pod's like, no, what? Why would you say that? Oh my god. You know, that's
Sweet
Podrick.
Summer Child.
So yeah, so you imagine Sweet Summer Child, Podrick dying, and then you imagine Bran having to kill Podrick, or even Tyrion having to kill Podrick, or Bronn. It's just, you know, or Tyrion having to kill Bronn, or I think it's going to be a lot of our B string players, but our B string players are players that we, there will certainly be an A string player in this. And I think we have a lot of good guesses of who that might be, but a lot of our B stringers are guys who went north of the wall and lived to tell the tale. Those guys, your Barracks, your Tormunds, they're not making it past this level of carnage. I think Tormund Giantsbane, undead. What do you think? All right.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
All right, Dave, who's yours?
So mine is also part of the North of the Wall crew and really leans into the who needs to kill them thing, because I picked Gendry for the moment that Arya Stark will need to drive her Valyrian steel dagger through his head, because it's him or them, and maybe, according to Joanna, they will have recently boned, which will make it even more
tragic.
That's
so dark.
Everybody I've had sex with is dead, is what Arya Stark is, her new catchphrase.
Everyone I've had sex with, just the one. Is she like, the, is that like Rogue? Like...
Everyone that's on my list and everyone I've had sex with, all dead.
All right. And we have some like traumatic ones from the listeners as well.
After a point in the
pentacle. All right. Are you ready? This one is really going to rely on me doing the accent well, which, as we know, is not a safe bet. So, here we go. I don't know if I can do it. Can I do it? Nope, I got it. I don't have it. All right, so we're going to do another one. All right. Well, what are they doing? Trimming their cutters? Tell them to come here now.
Blackfish.
No.
No. Walder Frey.
Walder Frey.
I knew it was a Riverlands, nice. Bro.
All right.
Walder Frey. All right. So our devastating picks from our listeners. I will go first. We're going to have Tony, who writes, this might be an outlier because it's not a Stark, but I think having to watch Jorah die, most likely protecting Dany, and then have to kill an ice zombie Jorah would be too much. I love Jorah so much, and I feel like 97.3% of his screen time is making, he is making sad forever loyal, I'll kill for you, love me back eyes at Dany. So to watch him die and have to kill someone who has been so selfless would break my heart. Jorah.
Jorah dies and Daenerys has to kill him.
That will be sad. Because he already overcame Grayscale.
He overcame a completely inessential plot line for
him. Who's the sadder version that has to kill him, though? Like Tyrion killing Jorah would be sad.
I think Daenerys is the saddest. Amelia will give us those, like, doe eyes and trembling lips. Like that.
That's true.
the world's saddest Dracarys. That's like a Christmas song.
Oh my god, please do an impression of Daenerys' sad Dracarys.
God, I can't do an impression of the angry Dracarys, but maybe we'll build to that.
It'll be like.
The normal one is like, Dracarys.
Right. Okay, wait. And Neil, are you gonna do the sound one? Wait, I have a setup for you if you're gonna do the sound one. Are you ready?
Sure.
Are you gonna do it? Okay.
Yeah.
The setup goes like this.
Dracarys.
Oh. she kicked a can when she said that.
Oh, wow.
You gotta say it like Tina Belcher. Dracarys.
No, you gotta go like,
I guess.
You gotta go like, Dracarys. Like that. That's you. Yes, we're laughing.
Tough break for Dany.
We're laughing through the pain. It's okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be hilarious.
Joanna, pick a listener.
All right, I'm gonna pick the one that made me laugh the loudest. this is from Claire. Claire writes, "What if it's Rickon that is chasing Arya in that crypt scene? He is the most recently dead and meaty." Sorry, of the Starks. And since his death was such a minimized moment in the Battle of the Bastards, this would be an opportunity to see Arya grappling with her youngest brother returning as a wight. Love this idea. Make Rickon's death matter, 2019.
He gets up and immediately runs serpentine.
Yeah. Also, Art Parkinson is like 2 other feet taller now. But that's okay.
Art Parkinson taking a break from his NBA career to come back and do some Game of Thrones.
To dunk on his sister, Arya.
They do make a point of showing that his face is still intact at the end of the Battle of the Bastards when Jon says to bury him. So,
A lot of people have wondered if, like, the... I'll give a sensible wondering and then an insensible wondering. A lot of people have wondered if the like Starks in the crypt of Winterfell will be risen from the dead via the Night King, and that's what Arya is running from. We talked about that before. And then we talked about how silly it would be to do something like Ned Stark when Ned Stark, A, doesn't have a head, and B, they boiled him down to bones. So, like, it's just bones, and that's not really emotionally upsetting, right? If it doesn't have a face, we're not going to be able to care too much about it. Another, like, this isn't, I don't think this is a spoiler. I'm pretty sure it's a bananas theory. If it's an accidental spoiler, like, maybe skip ahead 15 seconds on your device or whatever. But Melisandre raises the Kings of Winter from the dead to, like, be fire whites to battle the Night King. I really like that theory. That's a very, like, Barrow White slash, those, like, green misty ghost pirates kings from Return of the King. So, I don't know. Anyway.
I call in your debt. Ooh, I actually do kind of like that.
All right. Well,
how would that tie into Varys? Anyway, not important. Very important. A discussion for a later time. Neil.
Yes.
Take the final listener feared ice zombie.
Well, this one is a good one. And we heard this one from a bunch of people. And this, the person whose paragraph got selected was Patrick. Patrick says, I'm going to say ghost as an enlightened, red, snobby book reader and a dog lover who grew up helping raise multiple litters of puppies. That's freaking adorable. I've never been happy with how the direwolves have been portrayed, or more accurately, haven't been portrayed. With season 8's presumably astronomical budget and assurances from producers that ghosts will get more screen time, it would be very in keeping with GRRM style to give Jon's trusty hound, Wolf, more screen time as a zombified direwolf in thrall to the Night King. It would also give Jon one more thing to mope about. Thank you, Patrick.
I don't know.
We need to raise the stakes for John. What can we do?
Yeah. Okay. Let's up his sadness level.
So you found out your girlfriend's your aunt. Captain America.
Also, you found out that you've been king all along.
But, like, there's one thing to see. I kind of like that too. Like, the idea that, like, the Night King took Daenerys's, like, pet baby, one of her pet babies, and made it his own, and then, like, is gonna take Jon's too. I also like this idea. One of my favorite shots of the direwolves, and there are only a few, like, you can probably count them on two hands, is season one, I think, or season two, I can't remember now, when Jaime Lannister is held prisoner and Rob is, like, menacing him. And he's got Grey Wind with him. And there's this shot mm-hmm. where, like, Richard Madden just puts, like, a shot of Richard Madden putting his hair into, like, the fur on the back of Grey Wind as Grey Wind, like, stands behind him and is tall and, like, but, like, imagine blue hand, white fur, blue eyes snarl. Ooh, really Gamorrean. I like it.
The reason I laughed is because I pictured the Night King riding, you know, Ghost, who has white hair and blue eyes, but Ghost being fucking terrified like any dog would, clinging to the back of a zombie dragon as he flies through.
Wait, if that happens, this is something that Neil and I foretold on our first Con of Thrones panel, which was
a direwolf
rides a dragon.
Yeah, the turducken of riding ice things.
I could never be happier than I am right now.
A Night King on Ghost on Viserion.
But the key mm-hmm. is that Ghost would not be into it, because in no natural world is, like, any pack animal okay with being that high up in the air.
But he's a thrall now. He's no longer Ghost.
His only job is to just hang on with, like, all of his might to the back of this ice dragon.
I feel
dragon.
Like the darker version is
like
Night King.
Like a hat on a hook. Yeah, what?
Ooh. Oh. The Night King kills Ghost and then makes a hat out of him and just wears it like a helmet for the rest of the series. That would be weird.
That would be weird. That would make a sad John.
Yeah. See, I'm just trying to think of, like, what's the saddest version of that for John and everyone.
Not only does he show up, you know, again after Winterfell to have another fight, but he's wearing the head of your little buddy.
Oh, yep. Little buddy.
Little buddy. All right. Only three of the listeners can't join our three nominees for Ice Zombie Resurrection. We, for the most who's going to make this cut?
I think it's got to be Ghost.
It's got to be Ghost. I'm not a dog person, right, but a lot of people are, so it has to be Ghost.
It's close to Jorah, but I also feel
like... If it were Sir Pounce,
I feel
differently.
Well, I mean, he is at Castle Black, taking the black, so...
Yeah. Until we see otherwise on the series, Sir Pounce is not dead. No death until you see a body. Classic television. Mm-hmm. All right. Ghost, it sounds like, is moving on to join Gendry, Lyanna Mormont, and Brienne in our Twitter poll for the great debates. Ice Zombies Resurrection, you fear the most. That's going to be it for our Game of Thrones Great Debates, but it's not it for our Trivia Pentacle quite yet. Joanna, what's our final one?
I'm really going to try to do this accent again. All right. If you threaten my... No, I can't. Scottish. Fuck. All right. Can't do it. All right. Then we'll pick another one. Sure. This is a fun one. Just the Drunkest.
Oh, Thoros of Myr.
Neil. 4 out of 5 for Neil Miller. Now Dave has to shave his beard.
I was just getting it back. Oh.
Give me some cookies, apparently. Okay. Oh, yeah. Send Neil a box with some, like, crumpled up Oreos and your beard hair. Thanks so much.
Yeah, like, oh, it's
Dave's favorite toy.
I
took it away from him.
Sorry.
Tell Neil. I want him to know it was me. The one I couldn't get myself to nail is, I'm gonna try one last time. If you threaten my lord again, no? If you threaten my lord again, they get more northern. Real northern. Nothing? See, that's a good one, I think. That is Jory Cassel. And then wait, one more.
And then he gets stabbed immediately.
In the eye. Oh, that's worse. I think that's maybe the worst thing that Jamie ever did. I mean, I know we talk about Bran getting pushed out of a tower, but...
Like, Bran's still alive.
Yeah, that worked out okay.
Yeah, but like...
That needed to happen to complete the time loop.
Okay, wait, one more. This one goes like this. Your friend the usurper would lie beneath the ground if we had been. Your friend the usurper would lie beneath the ground if we had been.
Shit. Who is it? Is this a Stannis? No. Who is he? Who's
the usurper?
Robert.
Mm-hmm. So who's a friend of Robert?
Fuck, I don't know. Ned?
Yeah. Your friend the usurper would lie beneath the ground if we had been.
Somebody talking to Ned.
Mm-hmm.
Barristan Selmy? No.
I'll do Ned's line.
No.
I look for you at the Trident.
Oh.
Where were you?
Wait, it's a Frey.
No, not Frey.
No.
Ned says, I looked for you at the Trident. Where are you?
Sir Arthur Dayne.
Very close. Very, very close.
Oh.
Because Sir Arthur Dayne goes, I wish you good fortune in the wars to come. And now it begins.
Who's the one with Sir Arthur Dayne?
Mm-hmm. Who else is at that tower? That tower. That high tower of joy. Oh, it's Sir Gerald Hightower. Yay. Okay.
That was a tough one.
That was too hard.
That was tough.
That one we would have missed on HQ Trivia.
Yeah, definitely not in the official pentacle.
Yeah, that one was...
That's in the next... That's in the bonus 10 pentacle.
the bonus point.
Wait. One more. Last one, I promise.
Oh. Yes, the 8-pointed pentacle.
Last one. It goes like this. Ollie.
Oh, fuck. It's Jon Snow. Also... We're truly in the octagon now. So.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you all for playing.
Yeah, thanks for playing, Dave.
Hey, I did my best. I noticed coughing. Neil, now that we're back being a Game of Thrones podcast and that we're in the hashtag Storm's End, what are we doing next week?
Well, next week, we are hashtag Storm's End ultimate mailbagging. It's our big end games mailbag. So this is your chance to get in all of your questions for Storm of Spoilers that relate to Game of Thrones season 8 and Avengers Endgame. So we'll do it as two different sections. So you can email us, stormofspoilers@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at Storm of Spoilers. You can send a raven to the Citadel of Crazy Town. Those might not get read, but we'll get to them eventually.
Is someone murdering a hamster where you are?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I think a dog is murdering a toy of some kind.
Oh, gosh.
Excellent. As is the dog's rights.
Zombie Nico is not what we're ready for here.
So until next week, we'll be diving into, you know, some informed speculation. Where could people find your work on the internet? Joanna Robinson.
You can find me on vanityfair.com, where if you have not been rewatching Game of Thrones, I have just helpfully recapped every single season. So you can just read it. Read a recap. There's some jokes in there. A few. Not a lot. Mostly information. Or you can find me on Twitter at Joe Wrote This, where right now we are discussing our favorite obscure-ish names from Game of Thrones.
Ooh. And Mr. Neil Miller.
Yeah, you can get me over at filmschoolrejects.com, where we got a bunch of Game of Thrones and other things. Follow me on Twitter at rejects, and don't forget to follow the show at Storm of Spoilers.
And I'm Dave Gonzalez. You can find me online on the Twitter machine at DA7E. You can also find me at tvguide.com right now and at thrillist.com for your upcoming Game of Thrones season needs. This is a little thing we do around here, but if you're new, we're trying not to fall down for the entire year, so I end each week by encouraging you, dear listener, to not fall down.